My thought tonight is, I'm going to title it tonight. It's our daily bread. That's what I want to talk about. How many in here, and you don't have to answer, but how many in here can raise your hand and say, "Thy will be done," no matter what it is? I don't ask it lightly, and I wouldn't answer it lightly. It's a very serious question.
Yes, it is.
It's a very serious thing to answer it. Paul said yes to the will of God,
yes,
and they cut his head off. I'm not trying to scare anybody about the will of God. It was God's will. God's way, number 111 in our book, says God's way is best. So lead me onward. God's way is best. Heart ceased us struggling to see and know and understand. If Jesus taught us anything in his life, it was to surrender to the will of God. It's what he did in his life. He surrendered himself to the will of his Father.
Yes.
Peter gave his, was able to say, all to the will of God, and they crucified him for it. Through the times of faithful people that I've read about, some of them have departed this life of many ways. Some people were called to foreign lands and never returned. Hebrews talks about some of those faithful ones that was sawn asunder, burned, ripped by beasts, sawn asunder, they're persecuted, had tribulation, had to face the hard things of life. But I can't, in my mind, I can't believe that God left them at any place. There must have been something glorious about their going. You remember some of the Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you've ever read that, and the one that waved the burnt stub that was able to say, "I got the victory." You can't do that. You can't stand that kind of pain and do something like that. God may have called it to that, but he done something. He done something very special in the midst of it. I said that I wouldn't take it lightly or say it lightly, because Jesus himself, when it came to doing the absolute will of God, taught us from the human standpoint that he's going to need something to do it. And he went to the garden and he poured out with a vigor, with a press, with a real passion, he poured himself out.
Yes.
And even Jesus was saying, "If it be possible,
yes,
Lord," he knew what he was facing. "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He knew what the cup was. "But if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He meant that. But then he said, "Nevertheless,
yes,
not my will, but thy will be done." Well, you'd think the Son of God, that'd be enough, but it wasn't enough. But he was showing us something. He come back from that, but it didn't hold. I think it hit something, but it didn't hold. He went back again, saying the same thing. And he did it three times. But I would say this: you don't stop at three, you stop when you get it.
Right.
He got it. The third time he was ministering, he had something. He knew he was going to drink the cup now.
Lord, help
us. As I said, if Jesus taught us anything, he taught us that God's way is best. Trust God. Surrender to God's will. Give all to God's will. Sometimes our greatest battle is not surrendering ourselves necessarily to the will of God. It's knowing what it is. But that's what we need to do, is surrender ourselves to whatever it is or whatever call it is. And sometimes people have backed off of the work of the Lord because they've looked at the work of the Lord and they wasn't willing to do what they thought that it might require of them. But that's not the way this works. It doesn't work that you have the feelings. It works that you give it to God and God will take care of it. You'll see the miracles of God's hand. You'll see God do things that you never thought was possible. You'll see God working in those things. He just says, give that to me. You know what the Lord really wants of us? He wants us to surrender ourselves to Him. He can do the miracles. He can take care of our lives. He can do better with our lives than we can do with our lives.
Amen.
And many times we'll say, well, I might die if I do that. I might die if I trust the Lord, or I might die if I give myself to the Lord. You're going to die if you don't give yourself to the Lord.
Yes.
You're just going to die in a worse way. You're going to die without the will of God. You don't leave Allie here. Not really. You don't need to leave Allie here until the Lord lets you go. In the place of the Lord was that, I mean, there was John the Baptist who done the will of God. But he struggled at one point.
Yes.
He was struggling. And he was saying, I need to know, is this him? Who is it? But John wasn't an old man. And he come and he preached and he said there was no greater than John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Well, leave him around as long as you can. Get the most benefit out of him. But he said himself, I must decrease. My ministry must leave this world. It's going to hinder the real one. There's going to be people that's going to be hard to turn away from it. There come a time where the will of God was for John. John, blessed are those that are not offended in me, Jesus said. Go tell him. That blessed are those that are not offended in me. John, we're not getting you out. Your time has come, the will of God, to be able to say, yes, Lord, you gave me life. You give me this place. And now there's the time that I give myself to the will of God in this.
Yeah.
It's a serious thought. But to be honest with you, it's the place all of us has got to come to. All of us, if we're going to be successful, has to come to the place that we give ourselves to the will of God. It was said of Jesus in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, before I get my text. Fifth verse of the 10th chapter of Hebrews, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
Yes.
This is what Jesus was saying about himself. This is what I come to do. In the volume of the book it is written of me. This is what you're going to find in there. One that came to do the will of God. Didn't come to do my own will, but come to do the will of God. Over in Matthew 6 verse 9. But in the 8th verse it says, but not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And that is so true.
Yes.
God knows about our lives altogether. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Yes.
Now, I know that we can assume that that's talking about the daily need of our physical body. For surely we need that. And it's right to pray for it. And right to believe that God's going to take care of us, because he loves us more than the sparrows. And he feeds the sparrows. And
yes.
God is interested in our lives.
That's right.
But I really wonder, and I want to suggest this to you thinking tonight, that there's possibly something else meaningful about this passage of Scripture. Because the real word seemed to be saying, Lord, give me what I need today. Give me the needs of my life.
Yes.
Give me what I really have need of in my life. It would be a proper prayer to pray that way when it said that the Lord knows what we have need of. He knows better than we know about what need we have. It's a proper prayer to say, Lord, I want to go to heaven. And I don't know how to get there. Lord, give me this day. Give us this day our daily needs, our daily provisions. Put into our lives the things that we really need. In the scriptures, bread is meant, is used in analogies in many different ways. And I'm going to suggest to you tonight that there's a deeper meaning here than just to feed our bodies.
That's right.
But there's a prayer, a real prayer of, Lord, bring into my life. It goes to the will of God. Lord, bring your will into my life. Feed me today. Feed me today. The thing that would make me strongest.
Yes.
Don't let me go weak through this life. Don't let me go wimpy through life. Lord, bring the challenge to. This comes from a prayer of somebody with their hand raised and saying, Lord, I want thy will to be done in my life. I want to see the power of God in my life. I want this. I'm not backing back from the things that the body might hurt from. I'm not backing back from those things. Lord, I'm asking for them. It takes one step than just said, Lord, I want to see if I can get by with what I can, or I'm going to get as close to. No, Lord, I want something. Give me this day my daily bread. Allow me to have in my life what I really need, because I don't know what I might need to eat today. Your word, Lord, give me the right word today. Yeah. It's not always pleasant. Sometimes it's bitter to take. It's good for you. Sometimes it's a little harder to take. Sometimes it's so challenging when the Lord comes. And many times he'll come and say, Lord, give me the bread. Give me the right bread. And the Lord comes and says, humble yourself. It gives you the scriptures. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought himself not. He humbled himself, what the scripture said. He humbled himself. Well, give me this day my daily bread. So sometimes there's a challenge needed in our lives. I need a challenge. I need something to wake me up in life. And say, Lord, give us today.
Yes.
Today, give us the very things we need in our life. If you'll give it, Lord, I'll eat it. Lord, you give it, and I'll take it in. Brother Jim White, very good friend of mine, and he was very special to me. And he used to say of David, he said, Saul was chosen to be king, but God made David a king.
Yes.
And what he was meaning was, is if you read the life of, it didn't happen to Saul. God chose Saul and he became king. But God chose David and David went through the ringer.
Yes.
God didn't just throw him into the kingship. He put him through being chased and javelins thrown at him, spears thrown. He put him through doubts and fears, and you remember that he was being pursued by Saul and all the different things that he was doing. This was his daily bread. Because he wanted David to be king. He's going to make a right king. God wants to make a right saint out of us. Lord, thy will be done. If I'm going to be what God wants me to be, I'm going to have to eat the bread. I'm going to have to take the challenges that the Lord has. Oh, give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. And again, I'm not using that lightly. It means so much to really say that. Lord, can I drink the cup? Lord, can the thing that comes into my life, the Lord has promised us grace. For everything he allows into our lives, he has promised not to put more on us than we can bear. The way of the way of the transgressor is hard, but not the way of the Lord. The Lord makes it easy. He helps us through physical eyes. Sometimes it looks impossible. I don't want to go to China on a slow boat. I don't want to go into that mission field. I don't want to have to preach in that place. I don't want to be responsible for this or responsible for that. That's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is, Lord, give me my daily bread.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you what the Lord will do if he's got a mission for you. He'll make you king.
Yes.
He'll make you minister. He'll bring you to the place in your life that you can accomplish the gift that he gave you.
That's right.
And he'll do it for you, and you'll stand in wonder of what God can do. Said, I can't make that phone call. I can't make that phone call now and make that apology. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And when the Lord brings that, this is your daily bread. This is what you need today to humble yourself. You know, I think the Lord is not beyond letting us fail when we need to. Now, I know God ain't a God of failure. But you know, there's been failures that's been great stepping stones in our lives, because there's times and places. Now, I'm going to look at this scripture to get this. It's in the 139th Psalm. It's very familiar. Probably most people would recognize this last two verses of the 139th Psalm. 23rd verse says, "Search me,
yes,
O God. Search me, O God." As if, we'll look at that, and it's as if the idea is that, well, God don't know what's in there. Hey, Lord, if you'd look, you might find. God already knows, okay?
Yes.
This is not for the benefit of God. This was the benefit of the writer expressing how much that I want God,
yes,
to unveil myself to me. I want God to show me what he finds, what he looks at, what he sees. Search me, oh Lord. This is coming from the heart that would say, Lord, I'll eat the bread. I esteem the words of your mouth more than my necessary food.
Yes.
I esteem this more. I want this, Lord. So search, look into my heart, because I'm prejudiced against myself. No, I'm the best one in here. I mean, I comfort myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm prejudiced against myself. I don't look at myself like I might look at somebody else. I want the arbiter. I want the one that's honest. I want him to look into it. Lord, look into me. See me the way you see me. And allow me to see that too. Let me see that, the writer is saying. So, Lord, search, oh God, search me, oh God, and know my heart.
Yes.
Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting.
Yes.
How are you going to do it, Lord? By my daily bread. Give me my daily bread.
Right.
Part of that daily bread might be people don't like you. How are you going to deal with that? With grace.
Right.
You want to grow in the Lord? I told the Lord one time, sincere as I could do it, Lord, I want to be more like you. Well, I was pretty young in the Lord. I mean, I was ministering at the time. I was pretty young in the Lord. But I was praying, sincerely, I want to be more like you. I didn't really know what it meant to really pray, I want to be more like you. I just want to be more like the Lord. I meant that some way and some gentle spirit, or like a gentle rain that flows down over you, and all of a sudden you're wet. You get better. I mean, I wanted to feel the Lord and know that I was in a grace like that. It's not what happened. The Lord put me through something where people had come against me just like they did the Lord. I didn't recognize what the Lord was doing. I was just praying, Lord, I want to be like you. Really, the same prayer is give me this day my daily bread.
Yes.
Give me what I need. Give me the necessary things in my life that would make me like you.
Amen.
And the Lord did. And my neighbor was completely ridiculous. He attacked me, completely ridiculous about it. I mean, he didn't attack me physically with words, and he was obnoxious and right in front of my family and all of that, and it hurt. I was like, well, what's this all about? Well, my wife says, well, we'll pray for him. Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. I believed her. I said, yes. I mean, I know that's right. I know that's right, but it didn't take away. It didn't take away that. I'm going to tell you what took away. When the Lord reminded me what I was praying for. And the way it happened was, I said, Lord, he got on to me for all this stuff, and you know, I helped him every. I wouldn't even hesitate to go over and help him. Every time they asked me, I would go over and help him, and I'd done good to him, nothing but good. And then they done this, and the Lord said, that's what they done to me. You want to be more like me? I'm going to give you an opportunity to feel me, to know me, to know how I done it. And And all of a sudden, the light flashed and come on to me. And I realized that the very trial that I was put in was designed
yes.
f- from the Lord to give me my daily strength, to give me something. This was a special meal. Give me my daily bread. Give me the necessity, the things I have to have that, or I'll never be like Jesus. And the Lord gave it to me. And I realized this was of the Lord. Now, God don't make people cuss and swear at you. He allows things to happen. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, what an opportunity and honor that I have right now. That I get to stand, if you will, in the footprints of Jesus Christ. They're doing me the same way. I've got to respond the same way. I will not be bitter. By God's grace, I've got to love him. I've got to love him. I want him. I'm going to tell you. I want him. Eventually. Well, he's mad at me for a long time. I'd try to wave at him and for nothing. I did nothing. I had a fence around my yard and we deer hunt and I got some deer and there was some deer bones in my fenced yard. And his dog dug into my fenced yard and got those bones and carried them over to his yard. And he was mad at me for his dog getting into my yard and taking the bones over there. That's what the whole thing was about. And called me immoral and all. I mean, really, it was like, you're the devil. I mean, you're bad. And it was terrible to feel those things. And I realized, that's what they done to me, Jesus said. Give us this day our daily bread. He said, lead us, lead me in the way everlasting. How are you going to do it by yourself? Lord, give us the strength through our daily bread. Teach us how to walk. Allow the right things into our lives. We don't know what they might be. There is challenges. But God's way is best. He'll always, always lead true. That's the Lord we serve. Over in the book of Numbers, we read some of this last night. It's part of the same story. It's in the 14th chapter of Numbers. We set the stage of it last night in the message. It was when the children of Israel had finally came to go over into the Canaan land, and they had refused to go. And there was an evil report brought back from some of the spies. A couple of them had a good report and said they could go. The 14th verse picks it up, and it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that all night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? To fall by the sword? That our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us unto the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Yes. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not, for they're bread unto us. Well, the common understanding of that would be, and I don't doubt the understanding, is there was an old, we used to say it when I was young, with something like this. It was mainly in the sports world. Somebody making their boast, they could beat you in basketball, you might well say, oh, I'd eat you for breakfast. Meaning that it's easy. I could eat you before I even start eating. I mean, it's easy. That's kind of, you could take that as that expression. They're just bread. They're like bread. We eat that up really, really quick. But I think there's more to the idea. They're a benefit to us. You don't see the benefit, but if God put them in our way, They're a benefit. They're going to make us more diligent. They will make us step the right place. They'll make us go at the right speed. They'll assure us favor with God. Our enemy's going to... You know what happened with Joseph? Joseph was done wrong.
That's right.
A number of times. It was bread for him. It was benefit to him. God put Joseph where he had to be by giving him the bread of affliction, the adversity. This was his daily bread. Do you know getting thrown in to say, "Thy will be done, O Lord," means that your daily bread's in the well, Joseph. You don't see the end of this, but this is a good place for you and for your people. I'm going to use you this way. They meant it for evil, sure. But God meant it for good. And so his daily activity, what he needed in his life to get, you know what God wanted to do with him in his time and way? He wanted to deliver Israel. He wanted to make a nation out of them. And so he used Joseph. And Joseph being faithful was saying, "Thy will be done. If I have to be in well, I'll be in a well. When I get thrown into it, when I get sold in slavery, I'll be in slavery. When I go down here to Potiphar's house, if they mistreat me, I'll be mistreated. If I end up in jail over that, thy will be done." Paul said it too.
That's right.
Paul said it too. "Lord, thy will be done."
Yes.
Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had Roman steel metal around his legs, but he didn't recognize that. "I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my daily bread. This is what is getting me to where God wants me to be. This is where I can do and have the most effect in life." There was a man named Bunyan who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. God wanted Pilgrim's Progress written. I believe that. Probably, I think at one time, maybe still is, the second most printed, sold writings ever. Next to the Bible, it's one of the most, was in Christian faith, it stands as a monument of literature. It's something that a lot of people's got a lot of courage. God wanted it done. How could he get it done? With a man that said, "Thy will be done." I won't back up on God's will. If this, God put me in here, God take me out of here. You are not in control. God can get me out of here when it's time to get out of here. "Thy will to be done." He's long, long gone, but the monument he left still exists because God wanted it to exist. He said to the children of Israel, "You're messing up. We're well able to get this, and this is set in our path for bread. It's our benefit. It doesn't look like it, but God never makes a mistake. This is a benefit to us. These people left there when God said, go take it. That's a benefit to it. It's bread to us. You don't understand this. This is going to help us, not hurt us. They can't destroy us. They can only help us. Oh, they'll rant and they'll rave and they'll do all the things that they do. And God will be glorified as they go. And we will see at the end of it, would it be a testimony to just walk through there and not do anything? But when they went through there and said, "We were like grasshoppers, and grasshoppers beat the giants." That's a testimony. Something that you can tell your children when they doubt God. You can say, "No, this is something that there's there and it's valuable. Lord, give us." Many times we'll pray for the things in our life, but we won't accept the daily bread. Lord, let our prayer be, give us this day our daily bread.
Yes.
If we, to just go and so we pray for our children, of course we pray for our children, but Lord, help us with it. Help them to see God in our life. The challenges of our life, I would say today that the apostles got a good dose of this, for they knew what it meant to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew what it meant to spread the gospel.
Yes.
They knew the danger that was there, and they didn't back up on it. This is what's neat, and God can lead all the way through. I want to look at another familiar scripture in John, the fourth chapter of John. Well, there's so much good there, and I want to go through some of it. I believe this is where Jesus went and talked to the woman. Fifth verse. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof it himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give them shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Again, I just want to point out that the analogy of what the Lord had not sunk in yet. She was saying that she wouldn't have to come and draw, but she would have to come and get that natural water. It was what Jesus was talking about. So there was an analogy with that. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that thou saidest thou truly. How did he know that? How did he know that? Something's working. There was a time where there was a guy that went and told him. His name was Nathaniel. I said, Nathaniel, come on, we're going to show you the Christ. Nathaniel was rightfully skeptical. Oh, how can anything good come out of Galilee? Now, I've heard this all my life. Christ here, Christ, there's been so many. No, you come and see. And he's coming and Jesus speaks of him, and here comes a true Israelite. An Israelite indeed. Here's a real one. And he said, How do you know me? When you was under the fig tree, I heard thee. I'm gonna tell you, I don't know what it was, and the speculations can fly, but I'm gonna tell you, Nathaniel knew what it was. That's exactly what he needed. Jesus knows exactly what you need.
Yes.
Give me this day my daily bread.
Yes.
I might need a caress today or a hug. And then I might need to be really challenged. I might need to be really stirred. God knows exactly what we need in our lives. Says to this woman, he went there for this woman. He went there for them. Yes, it was true the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, but Jesus was Savior of the world. Jesus went by there for a purpose. Because he loves everybody. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe on me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. For ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Even he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Yes.
And upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Now, I wanted to bring out a point here because in the early reading of this, this is exactly why they left. Jesus sent them to get food. So they're not understanding the situation here that it happened, but this is what was happening with the Jesus. He had got into this place, and this is not important now. The temporal need was no longer important. It'll have its time.
Yes.
But they come back and they had pondered because this is what he's sending to. They sent him to get food and they went and got the food. But he come back, Jesus doesn't seem to be interested in it. And now he says to them, I got meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, they was like this, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They thought that somebody snuck it in. He must have got it somewhere else. They were slow. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work.
Amen.
So Jesus is teaching us again. This was a part of Jesus' daily bread. What Jesus came to do was the places that God had set for him in his life and ministry, and he knew that he must go by. This was a part of his daily bread. Lord, what bread will you give me today? You got a Samaritan woman to go deal with. And he felt empowered, didn't he? I mean, there's an obvious something happened with the Jesus. Jesus wasn't worried about the food now. He would have eaten before, but now something else is more important. He's enlivened himself more. There's something else. The disciples still thinking about food. But the Lord wasn't thinking about food. This was a part of his daily bread. There was a time where there was a man that was blind. And he was sitting by the road blind. And there was a crowd there. And he asked him, what's going on? And he said, Jesus of Nazareth's coming by. And this ain't by chance. This is part of the Lord's daily bread. I come to do thy word. I come to do thy will, O God. This is a part of what I'm supposed to do today. Lord, help us. Living for the Lord is supposed to be proactive. It's supposed to be activity. There's supposed to be life there. There's supposed to be a prayer. Lord, and that incorporated into that, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Means that, Lord, the honest soul that needs help. That's my bread, Lord. Send the bread. Send the encouragement of the scriptures of the song. Send that one that needs help. Let me run into somebody. Let me experience this thing more. This is a part of the day. Jesus went through doing good. He done things daily. I believe he was a daily working. He got bread daily. There was one time a part of his daily bread was going to the land of the Gadarenes and running into Legion. This is a part, I will do thy will, O God. What? Give me this day my daily bread. What is it that I'm supposed to eat upon today? In my spirit, in my soul, give me life.
Amen.
Give me life. Let me see the hand of God working in my life. Which bread is more important? Lord, give me that bread. I know it's talking about the flesh bread. I mean, the bread that we eat, the necessities we need in the body. But oh, I believe it's so much more than that. That prayer, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. What do you have for me today? What word of encouragement can I say? What challenge can I face today? What's the devil going to be doing today? What's he after? What's he into? the whole gambit of living for the Lord. What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? There was in different places in the scriptures, I'll say this many times, but I just want to say it. Sometimes in my life, there's been areas to where I was not satisfied with. There's been places to where I've had to say I'm sorry and had to backtrack on things. And they're monuments. There's places there that I don't go back to. There's places there that said, no, this ain't going to work for me. Lord, I need to be better than that and not let this happen again. And I tell this, and most people's heard me tell it over and over, but I tell it to the glory of God because I wasn't saved for about a year or so. I wasn't saved. And my first wife, Tammy, some of you knew her, and we was driving, and I remember how I faced things. I knew what a Christian should do, how he should act. And I say act, I mean, I know how he should act. I knew how he should be, but I know how you're supposed to act. I know what people's supposed to see. So in a new marriage, there's bound to be, or if you've got a difference, it's fine. But if there's usually in marriage, there's a learning process, and there's sometimes, I'm trying to say this the right way. There's disagreements. There's disagreements. And I remember just so much wanting to please the Lord that I swallowed a lot. I just swallowed and did good. I did good. You know, you swallow so much and it don't go nowhere. And after a while, that's what I felt like. And we're driving down the road, and I never felt like I was a person that had a bad temper when I was not saved. So, I mean, and I was driving down the road, and we got into a disagreement of some sort. And he was driving down the road, and I got so angry. And I mean, 55 miles an hour coming off of Miller Mountain, I just locked the car. I locked the car up and went sliding off the road into a wide place. I mean, I was boiling. She didn't want to ride. I mean, I don't blame her. She didn't want to ride with me anymore. I mean, but you know what? Lord, give me this day my daily bread. I don't want those kind of things, but Lord, I can't go through life like that. There's got to be some correction in my life. Lord, give me today my daily bread, and whatever this is that is going to help me today. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord allowed this to boil. He knows it was boiling, and it happened. And now I've got to, I'll be honest with you. I was wanting to do it so bad. I was making my stand in sin free life, and victory in Jesus. You know, that'll humble you down when you do something like that. It'll humble you down. It'll make you look at your fellow man with mercy. And it'll make you say, Lord, let's all go to heaven together. Let's help each other. It'll take the edge off of you. I ended up going to the altar. And next meeting, I went to the altar and Brother Tony come down to me and at the altar. And I told him the story, and he just shakes his head. Brother Marty, that's not what you do. It's not the way you do it. I know that. I mean, I know that's not what you do. And he started talking about, you know what you need to do with these things as they arise? You need to take care of them. Yes. You need to pray victory. You need to take care of them and let them go. That's a good thing. You know how I got that? Lord, give me my daily bread. Whatever it is that I need in my life, let it come in my life. Let me see what I need in life. Search me, O Lord. I know you already know. Search me. But let me see it. There's an analogy in the scriptures about the precious metals, the golds and silvers, and they're put to the fire. And they take the dross off. And they can't come to the place of taking the dross off to make them pure without a lot of heat. A lot of heat it takes to really do that, and then you can start moving. I want to tell you, I felt like that sliding it and all that. I felt like when I got it took care of, I felt like that there was a lot of dross skimmed off the top now. And now I can go on with a better testimony. It wasn't the last one, but a better one. And the Lord will work in our life. So I want to leave with you tonight a prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And again, I don't take it lightly. I don't know what that might be. But Lord, I want to have you in my life. And this is what it's going to take. Thy will be done. God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. You pray for me.